You're listening to an African Elements top news story for July 17, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why the modern deportation dragnet targets black communities. In July 2026, the American Civil Liberties Union released a highly critical national report titled Agents of Chaos and Cruelty. This report analyzed over 1,200 immigration enforcement incidents across 8 states throughout 2025. It documented over 400 instances of direct federal law enforcement misconduct. The findings outline rampant racial profiling, excessive force, and severe civil rights violations impacting communities of color across multiple DOT states. The campaign represents a rapid escalation of aggressive enforcement under the second Trump administration. It has resulted in a complete gutting of internal agency oversight. In Florida alone, the report recorded 66 instances of documented law enforcement misconducts. These abuses included the dangerous use of chokeholds, tasers, and the brandishing of weapons. The scale of these violations highlights a system operating with minimal accountability. The aggressive tactics of today are not a sudden development, though. They are rooted in historical campaigns of interior enforcement. During the Great Depression, authorities orchestrated the Mexican repatriation from 1929 to 1936. This effort led to the forced deportation of an estimated 1 to 2 million people of Mexican descent. Shockingly, historians estimate that approximately 60% of those deported were actually United States citizens. 2 decades later, the Dwight D. Eisenhower administration launched Operation Wetback in 1954. Under Immigration and Naturalization Service Commissioner Joseph Swing, hundreds of Border Patrol agents conducted aggressive sweeps of interior neighborhoods. Agents invaded private homes in the dead of night, boarded buses, and boarded trains to deport suspected individuals. This militaristic campaign heavily relied on racial profiling. It resulted in the unlawful deportation of many United States citizens of Mexican descent. To understand this history, one must examine the term Chicanx. It is a gender-neutral, non-binary alternative to Chicano or Chicana. The term identifies individuals of Mexican descent living in the United States. It represents a chosen cultural and political identity rooted in self-determination, pride, and resistance to forced assimilation. The use of the X moves past traditional gender binaries to ensure inclusivity for non-binary and LGBTQ+ individuals. Identifying with this movement reflects a long history of resisting the state-sanctioned expulsions that have disrupted communities for generations. Before the 21st century, immigration was managed by the Immigration and Naturalization Service under the Department of Justice. However, the landscape shifted dramatically after the September 11th terrorist attacks. The Homeland Security Act of 2002 dissolved the old agency in March 2003. It distributed its duties under the newly created Department of Homeland Security. This restructuring split immigration enforcement into two primary components, Customs and Border Protection and Immigration and Customs Enforcement. By placing these agencies under the Department of Homeland Security, the government framed immigration through a national security and counterterrorism lens. This conceptual shift paved the way for massive budget expansions, militarized weaponry, and advanced digital surveillance. The current national enforcement machine is valued at an unprecedented $240 billion. Consequently, this national security framing has fostered an insular institutional culture that frequently evades outside accountability. A major driver of civil rights violations is the legal loophole known as the 100-mile border zone. Under a 1953 federal regulation, the government designated a geographic zone extending 100 miles inland from any external boundary. This includes all coastlines. As a result, this zone encompasses roughly 2/3 of the entire United States population, including major metropolitan areas like New York, Los Angeles, and Miami. The legal basis for this authority stems from 8 U.S.C. Section 1357A3, which permits warrantless vehicle searches within a reasonable distance from any external boundaries. A 1953 regulation formally defined this distance as 100 air miles. In cases like United States versus Martinez Fuerte, the Supreme Court ruled that the government may operate fixed checkpoints and briefly detain individuals within this zone without any individualized suspicion. However, the Constitution still applies to roving patrols inside this zone. Agents must have reasonable suspicion of an immigration violation to pull a vehicle over. They must also have probable cause or a warrant to search a vehicle. Despite these limits, federal agents routinely abuse their expanded powers. They systematically utilize racial profiling and pretextual stops to target communities of color. Consequently, many legal experts are now urging the Supreme Court to vacate this regulation under the Major Questions Doctrine, viewing it as an excessive delegation of power. An urgent issue in modern enforcement is the use of administrative warrants. There is a crucial legal distinction between administrative warrants and judicial warrants under the Fourth Amendment. A judicial warrant is issued by a neutral, independent judge based on a finding of probable cause. Under the Fourth Amendment, entering a private residence is a severe intrusion that requires a judicial warrant to ensure independent oversight. In contrast, an administrative warrant is an internal agency document generated within the Department of Homeland Security. This means an ICE officer makes the probable cause determination rather than a neutral judge. Historically, legal precedent established that administrative warrants do not permit forced entry into a private home without consent. In May 2025, however, ICE changed its internal policy to permit agents to forcibly enter homes using only administrative warrants for individuals with final removal orders. This shift has sparked intense constitutional litigation. Civil rights advocates warn that this policy directly violates fundamental Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable searches and seizures. For many years, the federal government maintained designated community spaces where immigration enforcement was heavily restricted. These spaces were known as sensitive locations and were later renamed protected areas. These protections are not binding statutory laws passed by Congress. Instead, they are internal, discretionary policies established through agency memoranda. This policy was originally popularized via the 2011 Morton Memo. It directed immigration agents to avoid arrests, searches, or surveillance at schools, hospitals, and places of worship. In October 2021, the Biden administration expanded these protections to include courthouse settings, vaccination clinics, and disaster relief sites. However, because these policies are purely discretionary, they can be easily modified or dismantled by a sitting administration. In January 2025, the Trump administration officially rescinded the protected areas policy. They replaced it with directives that allow agents to enter these previously off-limits locations for enforcement actions. Consequently, bus stops, grocery stores, and school zones have transformed into sites of intense surveillance and violent apprehension. The expansion of the Federal Deportation Force relies heavily on cooperation with local law enforcement. Under Section 287G of the Immigration and Nationality Act, created in 1996, the federal government can enter into formal agreements with state and local agencies. This program legally deputizes local police and sheriff's deputies to perform federal immigration enforcement duties under the direction of ICE. Deputized officers are authorized to interview individuals to determine their status, check federal databases, and issue immigration detainers. Under the task force model, deputized local police can execute administrative warrants or arrest immigrants they encounter during routine police activities. This program illustrates the complex impact of state power on marginalized populations. Critics argue that these agreements incentivize show-me-your-papers policing, which funnels individuals into the deportation pipeline over minor municipal offenses. Furthermore, this program erodes community safety by breaking down trust between local police and immigrant communities. Families become terrified of contacting law enforcement to report crimes or seek emergency assistance. The impact of this militarized enforcement apparatus is particularly severe for Black immigrants. Black immigrants sit at a volatile intersection of systemic racism in both the domestic criminal legal system and the federal immigration system. They face disproportionately high rates of arrest, detention, and prolonged solitary confinement. While Black immigrants account for only about 6% of the detained population in ICE custody, they represent 28% of all abuse-related complaints made to detention hotlines. Furthermore, 76% of deported Black immigrants had prior contact with the domestic criminal legal system. This disparity highlights how local over-policing funnels Black individuals into the deportation pipeline. This trend represents a broader shift toward mass incarceration that began in the late 20th century. Many social justice advocates view the expansion of immigration detention centers as a continuation of historical systems of involuntary servitude and state-sanctioned social control. Civil rights organizations, including the Black Alliance for Just Immigration, have increasingly unified the struggles for racial and immigrant justice. They demand the dismantling of the detention apparatus, citing systemic and documented anti-Black bias. The human cost of these policies is evident in recent fatal shootings. In January 2026, federal agents in Minneapolis launched a large-scale immigration crackdown called Operation Metro Surge. During this operation, federal agents fatally shot two United States citizens, Renee Nicole Good and Alex Preeti. Renee Nicole Good, an unarmed 37-year-old mother, was killed in her car on January 7, 2026, after stopping to support her immigrant neighbors. Although federal officials claimed she attempted to run over an agent, video evidence and witnesses heavily contradicted this narrative. Weeks later, on January 24, 2026, Border Patrol officers shot and killed Alex Preeti, an intensive care nurse, during protests following Good's death. Preeti was pepper sprayed and tackled while attempting to film agents and shield a woman who had been shoved to the ground. The Trump administration defended the actions of the agents, and they sought to block local investigations by claiming the victims were violent domestic terrorists. Congressional investigations and independent reports later labeled these claims a cover-up of agent misconduct. Following a federal lawsuit by the state of Minnesota, federal authorities finally turned over critical evidence in July 2026, allowing local prosecutors to weigh criminal charges. This violence is not isolated again. In July 2026, ICE agents shot and killed individuals in Houston, Texas, and Biddeford, Maine, under similarly reckless circumstances. Copyright African Elements.